Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're listening to Wavelength. My name is Ali Johan. On the program this week, I have exclusive interviews with two bands that will be in town this month. Ra Ra Riot, indie rock band from New York City, are out with their new album, Beta Love. And we'll be playing a gig at The Bee at Publica on the 26th of October. That's next Saturday, starting 8 p.m. And I get the chance to speak to the bassist, Matt Santos. And we'll be giving away some free tickets to the show. So make sure you stay tuned. And I will have the details with me at the end of the show. Also, at the end of this month, Danish indie pop band Mew are going to be playing the Urbanscape's first satellite show. That's going to be a doubleheader together with Texas post-rock band Explosions in the Sky. And I get to speak to the band's frontman, Jonas Beer, who's at the studio finishing up their upcoming record, the follow-up to their excellent fifth album, No More Stories. So Mew formed in 1994 in Copenhagen, Denmark, and is essentially a trio backed up by two other players in their live sets. The band is hugely popular in Indonesia, with the legions of their fans calling themselves Fringes Indonesia after the band's excellent breakout album, Fringes. And ahead of their first time in Kuala Lumpur, I speak to Jonas about the developments of their new album. I hear that you guys have a new album in the pipes. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's we've been working on a new album for a long time now. Actually, it's kind of crazy. Every time we say the next one, we'll just do it in 3 months, but it always ends up being more than a year. And we're still in the process. We're actually in the studio at the moment, and when we go on tour, it's going to be like a break from the studio, which we're all kind of looking forward to. Even we do like being in the studio, but we also like traveling and being on tour, so we're looking forward to a little break from that, from the studio.
Yeah, what's working with Michael Beanhorn like?
It's great. I mean, we know him from he produced The Glass and the Kites, and he's been amazing. He's actually been living in Denmark for like almost 6 months now, so I think he feels Danish at this point.
What sort of input does he add to your songs?
He has a lot of input. He was actually here during some of the writing process too, which we've never done before. We always like finished writing ourselves and then went into the studio. So we did like pre-production with him and going through all the songs, and he had a lot of great input. So that's been really wonderful. And I feel like this album is going to be the most sort of worked through solid thing we've ever done. So we're very excited about it.
Right. And you're recording this back home in Denmark?
Yeah, I mean, so far we've done all the recording here. We might do some in a few different places over the next few months, but so far all of it has been here, and it's been great. It's actually been a little strange because we've done a lot of separate recording as well. I have done a lot of vocals on my own in one place, and you know, sometimes it's like, oh, you know, we can kind of miss each other, and then we. Luckily, we have a few sessions once in a while where everyone is present. So we've been working very efficiently. We're trying to be efficient.
Oh, that's great. Okay, do you think where you are or the place you choose to record has any effect on the music you make?
Yeah, it's a weird thing because I you know, we've recorded a lot of places. We recorded an album in L.A. and one in New York, and we've recorded in England, and I feel like, you know, it probably has an effect on you, but it's not really something I'm conscious about, you know, because we did Glass on the Kites in L.A. and it was sunny and nice, and the album is really dark and cold, so I don't really know how L.A. had an effect on on the album. But it probably did in some ways, you know.
What else is different in making this new one?
Our approach to how we're releasing it, and we're taking charge of a lot of that ourselves this time, which is quite exciting for us because we've been really happy being on a major label, but it just gives us more freedom to do things the way we want to do it independently.
Right, you guys are out of the Sony roster now, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite exciting for us. We don't really know how you know things will go, but we're very we're looking forward to doing all these things in our own way and retaining control of things and taking charge of it.
Yeah,
be good.
Okay, and in Southeast Asia, you guys are pretty popular, especially in Indonesia. There's a dedicated forum for the Mew fans there called Frenges, and you guys seem to interact a lot with your fans. Why do you think it's important for bands to do that?
I think it's important because you owe your fans everything. You know, if your fans are really what makes it all work, you know, and gives you the possibility to make a living making music. And you know, we're very grateful to our fans for that, and also we're kind of blessed because we have really creative fans. They just had a competition in Indonesia of who could make the best Mew cover songs, and it's amazing what people came up with, you know. And it's crazy to come to a place and just have that kind of welcome, you know. It's something we're extremely grateful for.
Your last album, No More Stories, when I listened to it from start to finish, it felt like a trip or like a journey. Is that an accurate assessment, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's even more true of the album before that, is in that it never stops. You know, it just kind of goes on one long journey. But yeah, I think that's kind of something we've become known for, is that our song structures are a bit weird. And you know, it does feel like little journeys sometimes. We have a lot of that on this album too. We have a few songs that kind of very sort of precise and short.
Mm.
But most of the album has that quality to it as well. So I guess it just ends up like that when we make music, you know.
Okay, but when you're writing, what do you think is your main focus in writing music?
I think just trying to convey an idea, you know. I think the best songs always start with an idea, like what if we make this rhythm and that will be the basis of how the vocal will go, or you know, just different approaches. I really think it's the challenge of making good music is trying to be inventive, you know, like if you invent something, then it can inspire people, and that's really the point of making music for us. You know, we don't really want to sort of just make a really good song that's just a good song. We want to sort of explore what you can do with a rock band.
Are there any, if you can point out any specific influences in writing this new stuff as opposed to your old ones?
I think we've been listening to different things. Our drummer listens a lot to African music, and I've been listening to a lot of 80s pop music. And also we listen to a lot of music from around the world, because Michael, our producer, when he came over, he played us just for inspiration. We had like an inspiration week of just playing music to each other, and so listen to a lot of weird stuff and a lot of beautiful stuff. So I guess that's been the influence.
Tell me about your new song, Klassen.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of work in process, and that's another thing is kind of weird for us. We've done it a little bit in the past, played songs live that weren't quite finished, but this is definitely one of them, and you know, when it eventually is put out on the album, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the album, it'll be quite different from the live version. But it teaches you a lot to play these songs to an audience. You immediately feel, okay, this part doesn't work as well. You can sort of hear it through the ears of the audience in a way, and that's been really really amazing.
So it's interesting that you are trying out your songs and see how your fans react to it.
Yeah, and it's also just because you're sort of living in a cave as you're making the album, and then getting out and having a human response to it from other people just really clarifies a lot of things for you. So it's helpful, you know.
When can we expect the new album then?
We're very much hoping for like really early next year, but we can't really guarantee anything because there's a lot of logistics and you know, it has to be mixed as well, and you know, but we're working very efficiently, very hard to make the deadline.
All right, and your first time in Malaysia, coming to the end of this month.
Yeah.
What have you heard about this country?
Not much. I have a friend here in Denmark whose mom is from Kuala Lumpur, and she gave me a few tips, but I don't really know what to expect. I mean, I've would love some tips if you have any. What I should, because I actually have 3 days off in Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, it's gonna be my only vacation in this year. Actually, well, almost, except for there's gonna be like a Christmas holiday. I'm really looking forward to like 3 days off in a new place.
I actually went over to Surabaya when you all played there a couple of years ago.
Right.
And the eight of us, me and my friends, traveled from KL. We flew to Surabaya just for Mew.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but we were pretty bummed that you didn't play Introducing Palace Players.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is that going to be on the set list this time?
I'll see what I can do. I can't remember if we played that on the last few festival shows.
Oh, really? Why not?
Well, I don't know. It's we try to mix it up a little bit, you know. Keep it you know, we want to play our whole all our songs. But yeah, that is actually, that's one of my favorite songs too.
Please do. Anything out of the ordinary that we can expect from you when you play here?
Well, I guess it'll just be a surprise whatever the set list will be, you know. And we'll have a few of our you know, of our upcoming songs.
Nice.
So it'll be interesting.
Okay. Well, looking forward to your show here, Jonas, and I hope you have a good time in Malaysia. Great speaking to you. Thank you so very much.
You too.
That was Jonas Beer, the frontman of Danish indie pop trio Mew. We're going to listen to a song taken from Mew's album And the Glass-Handed Kites. Here is Circuitry of the Wolf on Wavelength, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Wavelength with me, Ali Johan. On the program this week, I have exclusive interviews with two bands that will be in town this month. Earlier on, I spoke to Mew, who will be in town on the 31st of October for the Urbanscape's first satellite show. But a show that will happen sooner, on the 26th of October, is New York indie band Rara Riot, who will be playing at the B Upfront series at the B in Publica. And if you're keen to catch the band live, we'll be giving away tickets, so you just need to wait for the details at the end of the show. So Rara Riot, they formed in 2006 in Syracuse, New York, and recently put out their third album in January this year called Beta Love. The new album is a departure of sorts for the band in terms of writing and recording, and so I catch up with the bassist, Matthew Santos, after their show in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we just finished playing in Philadelphia a little while ago. And we're about to drive to Washington, D.C. now, yeah?
All right. This year marks a new album for you guys. How do you feel about putting this new one out?
We're all super proud of it. We did a lot of things with this record that we hadn't tried before. I think a big part of that was just we wanted to do something different this time. You know, we just had a change in our lineup, so we sort of were going into the recording process with, like, sort of a new attitude. And we just wanted to be, overall, we wanted to be a little bit less self-conscious when making the music and try to like, play for the songs more than for ourselves, if that makes sense. But also, yeah, it was our first time working with a really hands-on producer, too, Dennis Herring, and that was really fun for us. We learned a lot from him, and he really helped us get us out of our comfort zone. But, yeah, we're really proud with how the record came out.
All right, sweet. And you've changed a couple of things on this one, most notably band member change and where you recorded. What was it like recording this this album?
Yeah, that was also a big change for us. It was the first time recording a record in like a warmer climate. We were down in Mississippi, southern United States, and we'd always recorded in really cold places in the middle of winter. So it was just interesting how much that affected the whole recording process for us. It was nice just to be able to get outside and be in the sun and get outside of the studio whenever you needed a break and sort of clear your head a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think that really helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just having less people involved, I think, also helped us, you know, handle the sonic space of the music better.
And I read that Josh Fries drummed on the record. He's such an excellent drummer. What was it like working with him?
Oh, that was absolutely that was a dream come true. He's been a favorite drummer of mine for a while now. He's worked with a lot of my favorite artists, specifically Devo, who I had seen a few times. And, it was just one of those things that I never thought it would be possible. And then I just one day found myself in the studio with him. And he was only there for 3 days. He recorded all the drum parts in 3 days. But it was just sort of like a blitz, and I was just sort of trying to hang on to dear life. But it was really fun. He's a really funny, interesting, incredible person. It was really fun working with him, and I was lucky as the bass player to be able to do a lot of the tracking live in the room with him. So a lot of the drum and bass tracks were recorded simultaneously, which was really, really exciting.
Yeah, and I hear that you were working on songs on the fly, and that's kind of like a different way you write this time around.
Yeah, exactly. That was another change too. I think in the past we'd always gone into the studio with every single note sort of figured out ahead of time, so nothing really happened in the studio except we just, you know, everyone took turns recording their parts, and we just sort of really nothing else happened. So this time we went into the studio with things sort of intentionally unfinished, or, you know, we were allowing for things to happen sort of spontaneously in the studio, which I think helped us stay on our toes a little bit and helped keep the whole sessions a little more fresh, I think.
Yeah, and how did Josh react to that?
Oh, really? Well, he was a pro. He actually hadn't heard any of the songs ahead of time, so he just would show up, and then we'd play him a song, and we'd say, this is the kind of, like, this is what the song sounds like, this is the vibe we're going for, and he'd say, okay, and you'd think about it and write down some notes, and then he would just get behind the kit, and within, like, three takes, we would have a finished drum track, so it was pretty amazing.
Did you play any other instruments other than your bass?
I played guitar in a few songs. That was another thing, too. We didn't want to be too tied down to our individual instruments. So Milo and Rebecca and Wes all played a lot of keyboards in addition to their normal instruments. And even Dennis, the producer, played some keyboards, too. So there was a there was some switching around, but yeah, I played guitar on the songs as well, which was also something we hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in making new music, when you started writing and working on Better Love, what do you think is the most important element of focus in making your new stuff?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a lot of people, ourselves included, in the past, you know, it's easy to get hung up with what you think other people want to hear from you or what you think people are expecting to hear from you. And you can end up writing songs half for yourself and half for what you think, people want to hear. And that can be a dangerous road to go down. So I think the most important thing is to just stay focused on your specific vision and to just not lose sight of that and just have faith in whatever creative impulses that you're having.
Okay, and if there was one element of the band that you feel must always be present in your music, what would it be?
Oh, that's another good question. I think, when we first started out, we started as a college band, and we never expected to play longer than, a semester. We were just going to play for a few months and then graduate and go our separate ways. So, the main focus of the band at the beginning was just to have fun. We just wanted to have a lot of fun and play some house parties and, things like that. And then it sort of blew up into this thing, and now 8 years later we're still doing it. But our motto is still, we always remind ourselves, that we'll keep doing it as long as it's still fun. And I think that's an important part of us. We're still just trying to have a good time and enjoy what we're doing. And I think hopefully that attitude and the energy of our live shows, I think those are maybe the two most important aspects of our music.
Okay, and you guys have been around for a while, since 2006. Do you think, in the current music climate and where you are situated, are there bands that are, I guess, like-minded with Rara Riot, sound alike, and, kindred spirits?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of, it's funny, I think a lot of, our contemporaries, I feel like even if the music doesn't really sound similar in a lot of instances, I think a lot of bands that are around right now who are sort of our age are trying to do the same thing, and I think a lot of the most interesting music that's being made nowadays is sort of this kind of synthesis of a lot of different things that people might have been exposed to growing up. And I think for us, it happens to be 80s pop and some classical and some new wave and some post-punk and some R&B. And I think a lot of other bands that we like and who we've played with before, I think have that same kind of attitude where it's sort of putting together these different pieces in new and interesting ways. So yeah, I don't know if I can name anyone specifically, but I feel like just basically a lot of bands that we've toured with, we've felt this sort of musical camaraderie with.
Mm-hmm. When you're writing your songs, new materials, for example, does anyone have the final say of what goes on and what doesn't fit?
Yeah, I guess it's different for each song. I think most of the time it's really a democratic process in a lot of ways. Everyone definitely has their say, but I guess we mostly default to, if it's a certain person's song, or if there's one principal songwriter, we'll sort of defer to them a little bit and be like, well, do you like this part that I wrote, or do you think it should go like this? But some songs we write all together, and that's sort of more of a democratic process. Everyone has an equal say and knows what direction the song is going in. And then with this last record, working with Dennis, he had a lot of the final say with a lot of things. And before we started working with him, we had sort of bought into this idea of handing over the controls a little bit to someone who had a sort of more of an objective outside perspective. So I think it's different for every song, really, which helps to keep the whole process interesting.
Well, when I listen to your record, Better Love, I'm wondering about the live set. Do you think it sounds kind of like the CD, or do you guys put out a really different show live?
I think, and it's a lot different. I think particularly for this record, for Beta Love, it ended up being a lot different. And I think part of the reason is because, how we were talking about how we went into the studio with less things figured out. So this time around, we had to sort of relearn most of the songs after the fact, after we had finished recording them. We had to sort of figure out how to play them. And that was a exciting and new challenge for us. So these songs got sort of uniquely adapted for the live setting, whereas in the past, the songs already sort of existed and we just recorded them and we played them the same way. So it was fun for us to figure out how to integrate all of the synthetic elements into the live show. And I think the songs really, the album is one thing, and I think the songs translate a little differently live now, which is fun too.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you take to figure out the live arrangements before you rolled out the songs?
It was kind of a while, actually. We had finished mixing and mastering the record for the most part, like in the summer of 2012. And then so it sort of took us the rest of the summer, or like the fall of, you know, rehearsing a lot to figure out how to execute everything live. And we ended up booking a small tour in that that December, so we could sort of test everything out live at like these small clubs and see if, you know, if we could see if we could pull it off. So it took us a while of kind of intensive work, but I think it paid off, because once the record came out in January, we sort of just hit the ground running, and we've been touring all year with the new material.
So now, after three LPs, four EPs, what are your hopes with this new album?
Well, our hope is that we've always sort of had a very slow and steady growth, which I think has served us well. So I think, you know, we just try to grow a little bit each time, and we're always trying to do something different, and hopefully that'll, you know, our fan base will grow along with us, and we'll pick up some new people along the way. But I think we just all feel really lucky to have been able to do this for so long already. And yeah, hopefully each record will just get a little better, and we'll get better and better at writing music and recording. And yeah, hopefully we'll just be able to keep growing and continue to visit new places like Kuala Lumpur and all these other places we're going to visit on this upcoming tour. So yeah.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a first time in this area. Do you know anything about Southeast Asia?
Not very much. We started this year. We've been to Japan a few times, but this past February was the first time we went to some other places in Asia. We went to Hong Kong and Taipei, and we had one show in Jakarta. So that was really exciting for us to meet these people, you know, these fans in different parts of the world that we'd never been to before. So we have sort of a vague idea, but we're really excited to see what it's like. And we've actually been doing some research about all these new cities we're going to be visiting. So we have some sort of game plan for when we get there.
Okay, great, Matt. Good talking to you. I hope you enjoy your time in KL.
Yeah, thanks so much. We're really excited to be there. So if you come to the show, come and say hi. And yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
That's Matt, the bassist of Ra Ra Riot. The band will be here for a gig on the 26th of October. That's next Saturday, starting at 8 p.m. at The B in Publica. And if you're keen to catch the band live, there's no better opportunity than this one. Get lucky and tune in to Evening Edition this Monday from 6 p.m. onwards, and stand a chance to win tickets to catch Ra Ra Riot live at The B Publica. Or you can buy tickets. You can head to www.instix.com. That is INSTYX.com. And that's all I've got on the show this week. Tune in next week for more good music from our country and the region. And to play us out, Ra Ra Riot's lead single off their new album Better Love is a track called Dance With Me. I'm Ali Johan. This is Wavelength on BFM 89.9, the business station.
I most did feel I had a good day. I most did feel I had a good day. It wasn't that great, but if I start to move, because I'd rather be given to wonder, why don't you stay here? But on the contrary, I live in lonely beds, so lonely, so lonely.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.